I'm just trying to get awake here. I'm a non-producer anymore, being retired, you know, so not used to these early hours. Gotta go get a blood test. How you doing?
Morning, rolling down the road, you headed to work this morning.
Trying to get out here on 101. Oh, these guys that don't have their lights on out here early, they're kind of sneaky when they come over that hill. Well, I suppose that could happen. This one, as you're coming down the mountains, I get a trembling. But I had them checked, and they said, no, that's just normal. They heat up, but I'm not a brakey type person. I don't ride the brakes coming down the mountains. I try to watch my speed. But now and then you got to push down on them going into those curves, and it kind of vibrates, sort of like when you're, that emergency braking system kicks in, you know.
I've had the ones on this truck do it before, coming down the Sluder Creek, coming out of North Carolina, coming down 25, pulling a big forklift and a trailer down through there one time, and mashed the brake pedal, and I don't know, it just, it seemed like the wheels wasn't rolling no more, they were running. I mean, it was awfully vibrating. I'm talking about, it was so bad, it might jerk the steering wheel out of my hand. And asked the guy at the Chevrolet place, I said, what would cause that? He says, brakes are getting hot. And I said, well, I hadn't even touched the brakes up until when I touched them. I said, you know, usually I leave the engine brake on because this truck's got an engine brake. If you tap the brake pedal for about 10 seconds, if you hold it for about 10 seconds, you ain't got to really mash it, just hold it. And it'll kick the engine brake thing on, and usually that keeps you, pretty slow going down the hill. And, we took it somewhere and had the brakes changed on it. The guy told me, he says, man, them things, the rotors on the front was shot. And I was like, well, that's what I was trying to tell him at the Chevrolet place, but he told me something different.
Well, there should be no difference in where you take it. If they mic it, they should mic the same, and that guy should have known what the tolerances were. Gracious. I don't believe I'd go back there. Oh, yeah, the old Jake brake. There's signs in different areas where there's population that people's not supposed to use those. They get pretty loud.
This one's not like a Jake brake on a tractor and trailer. It's either a 2500 or a 3500 van style truck. It just, the only thing it does, it just basically cuts back on the, cuts something off out there, and you can feel it like you cut the fuel off to the motor and it's just coasting. It don't really make no sound, but it helps a lot. I mean, it really does on these trucks. And that saves me from riding the brakes a long time. I just, when I start off top of the hill, I kick it on and just let it, coast the rest of the way until I have to hit the gas and it kicks it back off. That's a neat thing they put on these trucks, I will say that.
This one's got something like that. You start down the hill and you touch it and once, and then it'll slow into it. I never did read up on it on this Avalon, but it's got some kind of fancy system like that. Kevin, they sure have a lot of nice things on these automobiles nowadays. I wish this one had that thing on the mirror where lane change, mine, the mirrors blink, but like if somebody's in your dead spot nowadays, it senses it, and if you start to change lanes, it'll warn you, and that that's going to save a lot of lives. I think in the future you'll see that on every car. It's like everything else through evolution. They start putting in safety systems that are just normally put on the higher-end cars, and then they evolve up to the regular people's cars, I guess you'd say. And with electronics being as cheap as it can be today, that's good. Our 2008 Avalon, this is an 11, system on it, Kevin, that you touch the cruise control, and it had three settings, and it would keep you one of those three distances away from the vehicle in front of you. W4DJW's got that on his newer Avalon. This 2011 didn't have that as an option, and we bought it used. But boy, that was nice. You just set it, and it'd keep you back away from the semi so you wouldn't get rocks thrown at you and stuff like that. They ought to put that on all of them.
I'll tell you what I used to like on some of the older vehicles when they first, you know, done the upgrades on them. They used to have a sensor in the grill. I don't know if you remember them or not, but they, I can't recall what vehicle it was, but they had that sensor in the grill. Like if you had your headlights on bright and it sensed the set of lights coming up to you at a certain distance, that it would actually dim your headlights for you. And it'll automatically put them back on bright when the vehicle passed by. Which, that was a pretty cool feature back in the day. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what you call that thing. My buddy of mine had that on one of his vehicles. That you could set it to that certain thing, and it's like a certain distance behind the vehicle.
Well, I remember those automatic dimmer things. I don't think they worked out too good. They had a little gizmo set up on the left side of the windshield in the Cadillacs, I think. But I never did own one, of course. But they're starting to put those back on now as an option, Kevin. I've seen them come up several times in different model cars. And they got this automatic braking system now. Supposed to keep you from running over a deer or running into a pedestrian. But from the tests I seen in Consumers Reports last month, they're not working like they should. So I wouldn't want to be the one that walked out in the crosswalk in front of them, put it that way.
On, I can't remember what TV show it was I was watching, and they were showing them vehicles like if they was distracted looking at somebody in the rearview mirror, the brakes would come on. I can't remember what, I want to say it was a Toyota. I want to say it was like a Toyota Camry or something like that. But yeah, I like that system that you're talking about with the mirror things. That way when you turn the turn signal on or whatever, the mirror senses what's beside of you. And it gives you a sound. Most of the newer vehicles, if you notice at night time, I don't know if you do a lot of driving at night or even at the edge of dark, you could be like going down Lake Hampton or whatever and come upon one of the newer vehicles and it's got that turn signal thing on the mirror on the driver's side or passenger side. When you come up to it, it lights up. It lets you know there's a car up beside you. That's a pretty cool feature that, you know, if people really pay attention to them, because there's certain ways that you can turn them buzzers off, to keep from using them. But if they leave them on there, that'd be pretty cool.
You are mobile. Yeah, it is. Safer to get, the better off we are. People drive like maniacs down here like there's no tomorrow a lot of times. Well, ours has the arrow out in the on the turn signals, and you can see them, and like you say, somebody's coming up adjacent to it. Well, I assume you're in your work truck, company truck. What kind of a truck is it, Kevin? A big flatbed or a box truck or what?
It's a van body. It's a 2500 or 3500. It's a van body. Front end of it looks like a van. And, you know, the I call it, at the front. And we built sides on it with tubing and put like a big ladder rack up on top of it. I got the welder sitting up front against the buckboard on my side, even with the bed, and I got toolboxes down the side of the bed, and I got toolboxes under the bed. My torches and all that stuff set up on here. It's a pretty cool setup. It's a really, really pretty cool setup. Works out really well. I've seen some trucks set up a little bit better than mine that, does a little bit different.
It really does. Have your torches and all that on there, and I assume maybe even a welder. Well, I got a motorcycle in my rear view, and that guy's got guts. I'm showing 32 degrees out here, and he's on a motorcycle. I hope it's not a Gestapo, but I don't think they'd be out in this. But I got a little button here I push, and it brings a curtain up on the back windshield. That's really nice for driving at night, too.
Now you can hang up.
Some pretty cool things, too. ID number now. But yeah, for somebody to be on a motorcycle like that right now, I couldn't do it. I've done it one time when I have one. Right behind me, I'm trying to determine if it's a police officer or not. I don't think it is. He has saddlebags and all. The LED lights, boy, I don't know if they're on bright or not, but they sure seem like it. But that curtain that comes up in the back windshield is something these Avalons have, and it's really nice. If you're driving at night, you can see through it all right. It's sort of like those ones you see in the back. You used to see them in the back windshields of pickups and stuff, and they're porous, but they still cut down on the lights coming in, because his lights are blinding, I'll tell you for sure. Well, we're down here on Wade Hampton, headed down towards the Greenville VA for the blood test. Man, I haven't had my coffee, and I took my heart pills, and my blood pressure's... I brought two cookies along with me so I could fix that after I get my blood test.
Yeah, I took all my medicine this morning, and I ain't going without anything to eat after I take it, because it makes me sick in my stomach. So usually I have to stop about an hour or so after I take it and eat something, and that way it makes me feel better during the day.
My blood sugar is usually real low, and we eat breakfast a little bit later of a morning, like 8 or 9 o'clock, and then eat one meal in the afternoon, whatever time we choose, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, pretty early. But we don't eat 3 meals a day, so I snack on grapes and apricots and fruit of various types. But every morning when I get up after I brush my teeth, I have a cup of coffee and two of those cookies that we buy from Aldi's. And that kind of gives me a buzz. It sends your OTR.
Yeah, that's usually what I try to do. I don't try to eat a lot. I mean, I went from 338 pounds down to 314. About 6'1" and... pretty built. I don't have a belly like I used to have, which is a good thing. I can tell the difference. Every little bit of weight I lose, I used to be 185 pounds at one time. And well, I put it this way, I miss those days. I always play with my wife and tell her she caused all that, because I went from eating out to eating home cooked meals, about 3 meals a day, sometimes 4. And she gets a kick out of it when I tell her that. She starts laughing. That ain't my fault. I didn't tell you to eat that food. But it's kind of funny. But I got sugar medication, blood pressure, cholesterol, especially on Meloxicam and Mobic for my arthritis and for my acid reflux. But I hadn't took those in about a month. I got to call the doctor's office, get them to re-prescribe those to me. They ran out right there around, I think it's November, the end of November. But I got another doctor's appointment coming up before long, so hopefully I'll get all that stuff redone.
Yeah, me too. I take heart pill, Cardiovil or something like that. And then a couple of water pills, keep the water building up. And the Meloxicam, I can't tell if it does any good or not. It's an arthritis pill. And it's supposed to be better on your stomach, a little stronger than Motrin or ibuprofen. But, you know, I just don't see it does any good. Actually, what does the best good for me would be ibuprofen. But when you get older, Kevin, you got to watch taking anti-inflammatories. You know, I'm up in my 70s now. 72 this month. And it'll tear your stomach up. So I try not to take it, but oh, it hurts every day a lot. But not much I can do about this. It's arthritis. Well, there comes 5-6 geeks flying over. I always love to see that. Reminds me of my days back in Kansas, Kevin.
Good, man. You know. Yeah, everybody says Kansas is a pretty nice place. I ain't never been there, but I've been to Arizona. I've been to the edge of New Orleans down there and back. I've been up north a few times, up around Pennsylvania, and, you know, I think as far as I've ever been in Virginia is probably about 50 miles from the coast. And all of South Carolina. But other than that, I ain't been too many places. Be too busy working to go anywhere. Really don't like taking too many vacations too far away from home, so anything can happen while you're out there.
Roger. Well, Kevin, we're getting down in here where I may get in a blind spot. I don't know. They improved the repeater the other day a lot. If it does, I'll sign with you, and if it doesn't, I'll stay with you. We're getting down here towards Pleasantburg Drive on Wade Hampton, and down by that Bob Jones University, the reception usually gets real crummy. You're kind of in the shadow.
We only come through it just a minute ago. I want to say it was somewhere right there between the Kmart and the Greer when I was talking to you the first time, because it got real staticky, but I mean, I can still understand you. But now, I mean, you're pretty clear. I was talking to Dave the other night when we went to the meeting, and he came through that same area, but he bumped the power up on his radio, and believe it or not, it really helped him. I mean, he sounded like he was sitting in the seat beside of me when he bumped the power up, and after he got out of that area, I mean, he was good to go.
And Johnny did a real great job the other day, and I heard another gentleman in there I'd never heard before, and boy, he was knowledgeable about that stuff and had a bunch of test equipment. I think they're going to check the tuning cans on it one of these days and make sure they're right on the beanie. I've been involved with a little bit of that back up in Kansas, but I didn't do it. I was just there when they done it, and they look like some stainless steel cans, and they get it right on frequency with them, and I think they're just like a big variable air capacitor, but again, I'm no expert on it, but those boys know what they're doing, that's for sure. We're lucky to have them, Kevin.
I tell you what, I like talking to Dave. I finally met him at the Greenville meeting the other night. I went to my first meeting over there. And I'll probably be going back to my second meeting and paying my dues and probably join the club when I'm over there. Spoke to Johnny. I went out to field day with Johnny and spent a little time with him out there at field day. And looking forward to going back this year because I'm actually taking my camper this year. And that'd be my little camping trip. And my wife can have fun. And I can have fun too this year. And I'm going to try to help them in the contest this year.
I kind of shy away from it because I got to drive a long ways in traffic and it's at night. And I'm not wild about that. But I've been to a few meetings a few years ago. But I did finally figure out how to pay my dues online there, so that worked out great. And I'm not worried about that. I like to keep up on them. I've always been a member. But, yeah, if you want to meet somebody that's really an icon of the repeater, talk to Johnny's dad sometime, K4SUG. Man, what an amazing fella. He was way up in his 80s and was still out there in the garden every day. And, oh, geez, just a really active guy and knowledgeable guy and a Korean War veteran. And we went by and visited him one time there and really enjoyed it. So if you ever hear that call, grab him.
Come on, Johnny, you know, Johnny's a pretty cool guy, and his son, you know, I talked to him, Nathan, and both of them, you know, remember me from the field day, and, you know, I didn't even know where it even worked at, you know, until he told me, and I done been to that place several times. You know, doing stuff for him over there, and I told him one day I'm going to get by there and meet him, and, well, come to find it out, I'd already done met him at the Hamfire, at Field Day. I started to say Hamfest, but I met him at Field Day. But W4DJW, finally put a face with that kind of thing. He's a real knowledgeable guy, and I just saw him in there. And you was talking about the cans. They brought that up in the meeting the other night, talking about they found somebody around here that actually can rebuild those cans and retune them. And they was talking about having that done because that might be one of the problems that they have in there. They said they wasn't 100% sure yet, but they said it's been a long time since some cans have been built and tuned, the duplexers or whatever it is.
Expensive, I remember that. We had one fellow, K0PR, Phil Rankin, up in Kansas there, and he always, those were his, but he always kept them going on the 9-4 repeater, and they said they cost a lot of money. Well, I'm running into a lot of traffic here. I don't know why, but I am. Oh, I know. I'm getting downtown Greenville here, Kevin. I better let you go and pay attention to what I'm doing, because there's tailgaters and people stomping on the brakes in front of me and all of that stuff. Greenville looks awful pretty this morning with the sun rising on it. You have a good day, Kevin, and yeah, I should tell you, my Bernice is sitting over here next to me, and it's her fault that I'm fat, too, so we're in the same boat. See you later, Kevin. It's N0TR throwing your final.
Well, you have a good one out that way. Y'all be safe on the road, and I'll have to get with you one weekend, man. Come over and talk to you, you know, and, check out things. But one weekend, I ain't got nothing to do. I might